So we're going through a series of unwrapped gifts. It's kind of an overview of some of the spiritual gifts that are talked about in the Bible. It's definitely not diving into them in detail through this sermon series. But to give us an idea of the gifts that God gives so that we would unwrap them and use them. And this morning we're going to be focused in on unwrapped insight, the gift of prophecy. I had an individual look at that title and said, those are some long words in there. But I think the difficulty is we sometimes get caught up in what prophecy is and what it isn't. And as we go through this series, the first part of it is looking at a variety of gifts that Paul tells the Romans that God gives to people. In Romans chapter 12, God says through Paul that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So what does it look like, this gift of prophecy that is connected to faith? Well, sometimes we hear the word prophecy and we think about what that looks like and we automatically kind of equate it to predicting the future. And part of that is we look at the Old Testament prophets, the prophets of old, and they would announce things that would happen much later in time. In fact, some of them were speaking words that were related to the birth of Jesus, centuries after they would be writing. And so we kind of get in our mind that the prophet's job or the gift of prophecy has to do with having this gift or this ability to know what's going to happen in the future. Well, I don't think that's quite the way God's definition of prophecy works. Because it's related to our faith, and faith is the substance. Faith is the reality of things not seen. And so when the prophets would write and proclaim something that they had not yet seen, they were doing it as this gift of God as if it had been seen. They weren't foretelling some unknown event. They were describing something that God had revealed to them. Now, it may not be fulfilled for another 100, 200, 300, 400, 600 years or even more. But because of God's nature, they had actually seen it by faith. And this gift of prophecy isn't about us having a wisdom or an insight or knowledge that no one else has. The gift of prophecy, I believe, in today's church has to do with our faith and the sharing of God's word, of proclaiming the truth. The Old Testament, God related to his people through primarily two individuals or groups of individuals. One was the prophets, and the other was the priests. The prophet's job was to carry the message of God to the people. The priest's job was to carry the message of the people to God. And through Jesus, who is the ultimate carrier of God's message to us and the ultimate carrier of our message to God, we have by his Spirit this gifting among his people of prophecy, the ability to proclaim God's word for both now and the future. So I want us to look, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. This section leads us into, I believe, a great take on what it looks like to have and to live and to share this gift of prophecy. And so the acrostic today is not insight, it's not prophecy, but it's gift. We've used that before, but I've got a different alignment for that in this understanding what it looks like to experience and to live and to share the gift of prophecy in today's world. And we begin by recognizing that the gift of prophecy, well, it has a certain goal. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reason, as with all of God's gifts. They're designed for the building up of the body, that the body of Christ might be strengthened in order to be the light of the world and the community in which we live. And so as we live with the gift of prophecy, it's important to understand what is the goal of prophecy. So many times we live life and we find, at least I find, that I do better in life when I have a goal that I'm trying to accomplish. It kind of keeps me on track. Without that goal, I tend to be one of these that just kind of float. This is nice, and I'll do this until something else catches my eye, and I'll come over here and I'll do this. And before I realize it, I've just kind of wandered through the week, and I'm not quite sure what has been accomplished. So I need those goals in life. I need those goals in ministry. I need those goals for God. And I think the same is true with this gift of prophecy. When we begin to understand its goal, it helps us to understand the gift. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put this body aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. When we consider prophecy to be the proclaiming of God's truth, we recognize the goal of prophecy is so that others would believe. The goal of prophecy is to allow God's message and His nature to be made visible in the lives of His children. You look back through the stories of the Old Testament prophets, and their job was always to lift up God in a way that was designed to draw people back to Him. Now, there were prophets that existed in times when, the few very brief times when Israel was living more or less obediently to God, but we don't read a lot about those prophets because their job was relatively easy. The prophets that we read the most about are when Israel is in the midst of absolute rebellion against God. And the message has to be made clear and it has to be made loud. But it's still that same message that God exists and that He loves His people. And the goal of this gift of prophecy is that people would know the love of God. They would know His desire for them to live in obedience to Him. It's not about imparting special knowledge or insight, but it's about discerning what is right, what is good. The Bible says it's by faith that we draw near to God. It's by faith that he reveals to us his good and perfect will. And the goal of prophecy is to introduce us to the very nature of God. The prophet and those who live with the gift of prophecy ought to be the most humble people in the world, because they know more than anyone else that they carry a message that isn't theirs. And they carry it on behalf of a God who controls everything. And so as we recognize and we begin to dive into this gift of prophecy, and I'll state up front, I believe that these gifts that are mentioned throughout the Bible are not things that are exclusive to any individual. And in fact, I think most of the gifts are given to all of God's children in various degrees and levels. And so to say, well, I don't have the gift of prophecy, I'm not going to speak the truth of God's word. I don't believe that. I believe God gives us all a certain level of each of these gifts. Some he gives more of that specific gift so that people can lead in it. Last week we talked about the gift of giving, and it's not that some are called to give and others are not. But there are those that he gives an extra measure of that gift so that they would use it in accordance with his will. And I believe the same is true of this gift of prophecy. If the goal is to make Jesus known and to proclaim his word, that's a task that Jesus himself said belongs to all of us. And yet some receive a greater measure of that gift because God has specific work for them to do that requires that gift of prophecy to be elevated. The proclaimers of God's word. But not only do we look at the gift of prophecy and need to know the goal of prophecy, we also look at the gift of prophecy and look at the insight that prophecy is designed to bring. So many times when we think about prophecy, we think of the Old Testament times, but then if we're tired of looking at the Old Testament prophets, we immediately jump to Revelation as the New Testament book of prophecy. And the difficulty with that is we get so caught up in the imagery that we have trouble understanding that we miss the insight that it was designed to bring. In fact, if you read the first chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll discover that God's purpose was to encourage his people, and it seems like in many generations since the time that it was written, it frightens people more than it encourages them. And we've missed that gift of prophecy, that gift of truth-telling that says this is for your benefit, this is to encourage you, this is to remind you that God wins. And in the midst of all of the horrible things that are described in that book, the truth woven throughout it is that insight that we gaze into it and we discover that God cares for his people no matter what happens. And we need to hear that. Because we go through things, it may not be as intense as what we read about in the book of Revelation at this point in our life. But in our personal life, it feels like it's that intense. And so we recognize that God's word gives us insight. And the truth of his word we learn to apply. Tomorrow is, most schools in the area have off for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And we celebrate that day, we remember that day because of a preacher. And we typically, the world doesn't often remember that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher of the gospel. But a man that God had given insight not just to proclaim God's word, but to try to convince the world around him to live more like Christ. And so tomorrow, if you're on any kind of social media, you'll probably have your social media feeds filled with quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Good, godly quotes for the most part. But for some reason, those all disappear come Tuesday. And we forget that the insight that God gives is for all time. And this gift of prophecy is an insight that we ought to be sharing with one another, not just through words and not just through social media memes, but through our life. The reason, one of the primary reasons we tend to remember and memorialize people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is because they believed so much in what they taught and what they preached and what they lived that they ended up dying for it. And we live with that insight that our message is so valuable that the goal leads us to living in a different way. This gift of prophecy says God's word is so important that nothing can deter me from it. The Apostle Paul went from being one that did everything within his power to destroy the message of the gospel to one who would give his life and did give his life in order to proclaim the message of the gospel. He understood the gift of prophecy, the gift of truth telling, and he lived it in a way that he calls us to live it. So we look at the gift of prophecy, we see the goal of prophecy, we see the insight of prophecy as we look at verses 16 and following in 2 Peter chapter 1. Where does this insight come from? He says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. As Peter writes this, he reminds us of the insight of his words. We're not cleverly invented stories. It wasn't some good PR firm. The insight of prophecy comes from God. It's revealed to his children and proclaimed by those children. But it's not just a goal of prophecy, an insight of prophecy. It centers in on this faith of prophecy, this belief that is not shaken. He continues on in verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's by faith Peter could write and say the words of the prophets have been made more certain. We see it not with our eyes, but with our faith. And we believe and we trust. And we walk by faith rather than by sight. Living life according to God's word is going to be uncomfortable. As I introduced, really, in reality, the song introduced the message that God is enough Well, I don't know about you, but there are times in life that that is only true if I live by faith. If I measure that by the worldly standards of measurement, some might conclude that he's not enough. But the faith of prophecy says, because God said it, I see it as if it's already happened. And so when he declares me to be free from sin and I continue to sin, I have a choice. Do I see my life like God sees it? Or do I see it like I see it? And the faith of prophecy, the faith of the truth of God's word says that I am who he declares me to be. And the great news for everyone that you will encounter this week is that this gift of prophecy, this gift of proclaiming the truth of God's word applies to them. They are loved. God is sufficient above and beyond for them as much as he is for us. And we live with the gift of prophecy in our life when we're willing to speak and live the truth of God in every situation. That contentment in all circumstances is really only possible by faith. And faith, which comes, God says, through the hearing of his word, through the ingesting of his word, through the living of his word. The proclaiming, the prophecy of truth that God calls us to live by. And that's the final part of this gift of prophecy. We look at the goal of prophecy, the insight of prophecy, the faith of prophecy. But it leads us to the truth of prophecy. It's not just by faith that we believe it's not a made-up, invented story. It's by the experience of life. And the truth of prophecy is contained in verses 20 and 21 of 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, above all, Peter says, I've been telling you some great things, but above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The truth of any prophecy, whether it's the prophets of old or whether it's believers in today's world living with the gift of prophecy through God's Spirit, is a recognition that it came from God. It's not something that we just made up. It's not something that I've learned because I've studied longer than someone else might have. Those that truly live and who live out this gift of prophecy do so because God has put within them his Spirit, which he has for all believers. And that Spirit has enabled us to speak truth because it comes from God. When we look at the gift of prophecy, we recognize that God says that he gives his gifts to the church in order that the church might be built up in unity, in strength, under the head of Jesus. And when we live life and we decide to work to build up our body, I've thought about it from time to time. I don't know that I've ever really put much effort into it. And the reason is because my mind, my head has not decided for certain that I'm going to do anything. My heart says I ought to be in better shape and I ought to do this and I ought to do that. But my head hasn't said, do it. In fact, my mind says, go eat some snacks instead. And I tend to listen to that. You see, we do what our head tells us to do. It's the way the body was designed. And when we live as the body of Christ and we fail to do what our head, Jesus, tells us to do, we're very sick. And the gift of prophecy is the holding out of the truth of God's word in a way that we recognize Jesus as the head and we do what he says. And we believe it to be truth. And how do we do that? Well, by living it. Our actions and our responses reveal what we believe to be true. We would do this on the farm at different times. We would set up an electric fence around a field so that the livestock would stay in that field and not roam through the garden and everywhere else that they were supposed to be. And the neat thing about most of the livestock that we had was you could put that fence up and plug it in, and within a week or two, you could actually unplug it, and they believed the truth was that that was a hot wire fence and they weren't going to touch it because they'd already tried it. And we're kind of that way in life. We believe something because it used to be that way. But is it still that way? And our experience shows us whether we believe it or not. Now, there were times that my brothers and I we're not as nice to one another as we should have been. But we would say, well, yeah, we've unplugged the fence. You can go ahead and grab it and unhook it and go on in. The truth was we hadn't. But they would often believe, we would believe one another, and we would grab hold of that and wish we hadn't. And there's a deceiver in this world that wants to convince us that what's true is false and what's false is true. And the gift of prophecy is that we take God's word and it becomes the standard. And it becomes the test. See, we learned, as getting shocked often enough, that we would test it with something before we actually touched it, to see if what was being said was true or not. And there are people in this world that will say things and attribute it to God that are messages from hell itself. And God says we test. We even test the spirits, he says, to know. And how do we test? By this. Does it align with the gift of prophecy, with the gift of God's word, the proclamation of what he says? There are those, and there were those even in the days of Jesus, that would rise up and proclaim themselves to be a prophet and proclaim new truth. There are those in our time that call themselves prophets, and they proclaim new truth. You want to know how important this gift of prophecy was to God's people and the accuracy of it? If people in the Old Testament days would rise up and proclaim themselves to be a prophet and what they proclaimed as truth of God did not happen, they would be stoned to death. God took it that seriously. And this truth of prophecy says, am I just speaking what I want to say, or am I speaking God's word? Because one leads to life and the other leads to death. This morning, we come to a time of decision. A time to ask ourselves, how do I respond to this unwrapped insight? This gift of prophecy. How do I respond to the proclamation of God's word? How am I involved in this gift of prophecy? Again, there are those that I believe God gifts in such a level of this gift that their purpose, according to His calling, is the public proclamation of the truth of God's word, the faith that can see the big picture, past, present, and future, not as clearly as God does. We can't do that. But in this gift, we see glimpses of it, and we proclaim it. But if you're here this morning, and that's not one of those gifts that God has given you in exceedingly great measure, I still believe He's given you that gift of proclaiming His truth at whatever level He's gifted you to do that in. To use the goal of prophecy, to use the insight of prophecy, to use the faith of prophecy, to use the truth of prophecy to lift up Jesus. You see, that's the purpose. The purpose of all of these gifts that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks is not so that we are noticed. It's not so, hey, look at me, I've got this great gift. Don't you wish you had it? No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is that we use whatever levels of whatever gifts God has put into our life so that Jesus is lifted up. And Jesus says, the Bible says, as we lift Jesus up, He will draw all people to Himself. Do you have people in your life that you want to see drawn to Jesus? Lift them up. Use the gifts God puts in your life, not to convince them, but to lift up Jesus. He can do a much better job of convincing them than you or I can. But this gift of prophecy is designed so that the body of Christ can live in truth. It can live in unity. It can live in humility. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never said, God, I need to be cleansed of my sins. I need to be made new. I'd love to have that conversation with you about how to do that. But we gather this morning, especially on a cold winter morning, because for the most part, we believe in Jesus. We've surrendered to Him. We want to live for Him. And so our decision might be a little different. Maybe I need to be more deliberate in the goal of making Jesus known. Maybe I need to be more deliberate in gaining insight in how to not just know the Word of God, but how to live it. Maybe I need to walk by faith more than sight. Maybe I just need to continue clinging to the truth of God's Word so that I can share it. Whatever your decision is, I pray that God's word has spoken to you in a way that it challenges you and it changes you. And you decide to respond to Him. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you about something in your life, again, you're always welcome to just find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? And I would encourage you, if somebody asks you to do that, that you would do it. You can pray where you're at. You can go to another room. But as we sing this song of decision, whether you need to talk about what it looks like to come to Jesus, or whether you just need somebody to pray with you, as we sing, you can join me in the room to my left. We can pray together. We can have that conversation. We can grow together as we unwrap this gift of insight. Would you stand as we sing?